Father in heaven, we pause for a few moments this morning to invite your Holy Spirit in a very special way to open our eyes again that we might see, to open our ears that we might hear your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts through your word. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to respond to your love. And help us this day that we might be challenged to become the kind of men and women that you've called us to be in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16, another Bible text that perhaps some of you had to memorize in school. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto, anybody know what? Unto salvation. That's what we've been talking about so far this week, is that God loves you, and He wants you to trust Him and love Him so that you might have salvation, eternal life. Today, however, I'm going to be talking about a subject that I think will be extremely important to us. As you know, we've been building day by day a foundation so that we can talk about important things that you're interested in. Without this foundation, you will probably think I'm off the wall and won't know where I'm coming from. I'm going to be talking about why church is so boring. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about, does it really matter whose hand you hold? You might enjoy that, especially those of you that are looking for girls at camp meeting. And you girls who are seeking for a man to behold your beauty. We're going to be talking about that tonight. So be sure and be here. And if you've already found somebody, bring them tonight. We're going to be dealing with the issue, does it really matter whose hand you hold? Today we want to talk about why church is so boring. Paul seemed to talk about the church as being an exciting place. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, also to the Gentile, the Greek, to you and me. I love it was so powerful for him, and he was willing to die for it, and he even carried his Bible, if I could dare say that, around with him, at least in his mind. Why is it that I am so bored? Why is it that I don't like church? Why is it that I don't like those special meetings? Oh, I like the music. That's all right. And I like the quartet. That's all right. But when that preacher gets up to preach, man, I'm out of here. Now, if you haven't got the courage to leave, you just sit. You can still be out of here. You know what I mean? Because you can tune this thing off. And you can shut your mind off just like that, and you can start living in what's going to happen tonight. In fact, that's generally what happens when most people go to church, somewhere between the ages of 13 and 20. They sit and endure the agony and the pain with their mind shut off on what's going on as far as religion, quote-unquote, is, and they start thinking and dreaming about, tonight. When the sun sinks in the western horizon, then will the fun begin. For you see, in most of our thinking, there's a difference between sacred and, what's the other word? Secular. Right. You see, sacred is that special time that I spend with God once a week. Cash in with Him. Touch base with Him. So that He'll allow me to have some fun the other 6 days of the week. So I will endure the boredom for 24 hours so that He can allow me the freedom of enjoying what I like for the other 6 days of the week. Have you ever been bored in Sabbath school? You ever been bored in church? Have you ever been bored with religion? Mommy, Daddy said you can't swing today. Sabbath, can't throw frisbees today. It's Sabbath. Can't go swimming today because it's Sabbath. Can't cruise today because it's Sabbath. Can't live today because it's Sabbath. Can't do this today because it's Sabbath. And so today becomes a day when I have to check out. We go through the form of religion, or we go to church, we sing our little happy songs, even stomp our feet and make a cloud above the tent. But it's not the Shekinah glory cloud. But who really cares, because I'm bored anyway. It's not that somebody wasn't trying to help us gain an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that I'm bored. Well, I'm going to tell you today in one simple text in the Bible why you're bored. And you know something? God shared this with me not long ago, and I couldn't believe it was so simple. But you see, it's taken me a long process, and that's why I've come, as I said the first night, to share a little of my wisdom with you so that you might gain an insight into yourself that's going to take you another 20 years to learn if you don't learn it here. So folks, listen up, learn it now, and so it'll save you a lot of problems. You won't have to go through what I went through. All right? Here's the text. It's found in Romans again, chapter 8 and verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7 tells you and me why church is boring. Listen carefully. See if you catch it. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Well, that must have meant something. The preacher said it. Let me say it again. If you have found yourself bored in church, it's not because of the older people who have put together a boring, monotonous program. It's because you have the problem. Now, they may have a problem too, but it's not the program. The program may be that they themselves are suffering from the same carnality that you're suffering from. In other words, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Pretty straight talk coming from a preacher man to Seventh-day Adventist kids who have it all together. Young people, we don't have it together. The proof that we as Seventh-day Adventist youth across this nation don't have it together is because we are still where? Here, and not on the streets of gold the fellow sang about a moment ago. You see, we're supposed to have already been there, but we aren't. We're still here. Why? Because we are carnal through to the core. And the only thing that turns us on is that which stimulates our carnality. Now listen to me, church. Young people, listen to me, please. And you all are. I'm just saying that, but I want your attention. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. Because of our desire to serve the flesh, the carnality, that which stimulates us, makes us excited, we must then come to church and find something that is exciting, or I am bored still. Therefore, sometimes, more likely than not, our leaders have chosen methods and ways whereby we can stimulate your carnality in order to keep you, guess where? In the what? Church. Now you see, folks, the evangelical Christians have learned this a long time ago. And those evangelicals have learned that if you'll serve hot dogs and hamburgers and have clowns in church, they're painted up, and we'll talk about them later this week. If you'll do strange, bizarre things off the wall that have absolutely nothing to do with Christianity or religion, but bring it into the church and let Big Bird flock around up there with all of his other strange creatures, you'll find that they'll flock in to watch what's happening. You've got a Sesame Street in church. You know what happens? We get a Sesame Street in the pew. The mentality is on the level of garbage patch kids, garbage pail kids. We have a mentality that is carnal. We don't think spiritual thoughts. Why? Because the Bible says our minds are not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can they be. So no matter what happens up front, all we're here for is a quick fix. And the proof of it is, as soon as we're fixed at church, we leave, go home, and tell Mom and Dad what on Sabbath afternoon? I'm, what's the word? Bored. And you just saw Big Bird. You just saw the little mimes. You just saw the clowns in church. You just had your hamburgers and hot dogs. You just stomped your feet and said that this was the happiest day of my life. I'm happy today. I'm happy today. You just said that. And yet an hour later, I'm bored. You know why you're bored? Because you are feeding your carnal nature. And carnality can never be satisfied. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret that many of your parents haven't learned yet. Now, some of them may. Because some of them are smarter than I am. It's just taken me a long while. Carnality, please, understand what I'm saying. Carnality can never be satisfied. It has a hunger. It's like heroin addicts. You've got to have another fix quick. As soon as one, in fact, even before it starts to wear off, the addict is already dreaming about where he's going to get his next one. Why? Because he is never satisfied. That's why some men today have foldouts on their windows and on their doors and on their... You go into some college rooms, of course, not Seventh-day Adventist college, but you would find certain foldouts on walls in college dormitories. Now, fellow CUC would never have such a thing. No guys would ever have something like that underneath his mattress when the dean comes around. You know, it comes off the wall and goes into a special place. We'd never have that! But I'm not so much of a fool to realize it doesn't exist. It does exist. In fact, in some colleges, it exists and the dean walks in and ignores it. Why? Well, because they're young kids and they're doing their thing like we did our thing. It's more blatant today. It's more open today. It's more bold today. In Volume 2 of the Testimonies of the Church, Ellen says that never has vice lifted its head with such boldness as today. Man, that was 100 years ago. She'd die again if she saw some of our dorms. You know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that our young people today have to have a constant thrill, and that's why I'm suggesting to your parents, some of them still haven't learned, that the first mate was not enough. That's why Dad went looking for another mate. Mom wasn't satisfied with the love of your dad, perhaps, so she went looking for another fix, another satisfaction. That's pretty straight talk. But I want you to know why. It's because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. The old man cries for another fix. That's why one Playboy magazine won't handle most men. That's why a penthouse will not handle most men for 1 month. That's why they have to ultimately get the prescription for a whole year. And then the calendar, of course, that goes with it. One for each month. And it's not enough. Because they get hooked and they have to go the next year and the next year. And then before long, they end up like Ted Bundy. And if you've heard his life story, it's a pretty sad thing. Pornography to mass murder to the electric chair. What is it about the mind of man that drives him to ultimate death? It's carnality. The wise man said that a man is never satisfied. The old man can never be satisfied. That's why some men are never satisfied with their wife, your mother, perhaps. They've got to find somebody that will really turn them on. The tragedy is that no matter who they have, it will only be a temporary fix until they find another, and then another, and then another. And young people, I'm trying to say that it's time for God's sake and your sake that you stop that chain, that you break that chain, that we no longer have young men and young women that just want to go out and have a good time, a quick fix, whether it's drugs, whether it's music, whether it's morality or immorality, whatever it is. If the carnal nature is crying for it, I'm suggesting starve it. Kill it. Get rid of it. Because you can't convert it. Did you hear that one? Number one problem with most Seventh-day Adventists is we think, well, I've just got to sort of tighten my shoe straps a bit. Just got to cinch up the old tie. Got to grab a hold of myself and bring myself into line. Good luck. It's going to take more than luck to do it. Because you can't discipline the old man. You cannot bring the old carnality under control. It will destroy you and me. And you know what we found out last night? You needed to change parents. Because the old parent, whom did we discover last night? Who was it? Adam. Old Adam bequeathed us an inheritance of carnality. We came into this world with a desire for that which is evil. We have a natural bent towards sinning, which unaided we cannot exist. We discovered last night we don't even need the devil around. We don't need his angels around. We'd still be little rebels. Straight talk. And I'm speaking about myself too. I'm just like you are. You're just like I am. You see, every one of us have a bent to sin. Every one of us have to be stimulated time and time and time again in order to enjoy, quote unquote, this life. Carnality can never stop getting involved in excitement and frills and thrills and spills. Just can't. Can't get enough. I'm suggesting that there is another method. There is something else that's out there that can give you security, peace, joy, contentment, satisfaction, lasting pleasure, where you don't need to constantly be stimulated and stimulated and stimulated until you go absolutely out of your mind looking for some other new gimmick and method whereby you might be stimulated. Well, what in the world is it, preacher? Why don't you tell me what the other side is? Let's take a look at it. The other side is very simple. Let me read it to you from the little book, Desire of Ages. We talked about it last night, but I want to share it with you today a little bigger picture than what we shared with you last night. Listen carefully. He or she who is trying to reach heaven by their own works in keeping the law is attempting an impossibility. This is what some of your parents are doing. They're trying to keep you off the swings and off the teeter-totters and the merry-go-rounds, because if you don't do that, you'll probably be saved. That's a works program. You can cinch up the tie and cinch the old shoe straps if you want and try to conform to religion and to keep the law, and it'll only make you more miserable. Because the carnal heart wants that which is fun. Mom and Dad don't want you to have that which is fun. Therefore, Mom and Dad must be the enemy. Because I know what I want, and I want to have fun, and they don't want me to have fun. Thus, Mom and Dad are the enemy. No, Mom and Dad are not the enemy. You are your own enemy. You were born with the enemy inside of you. It's the old man, the old woman, the natural you. And folks, I'm suggesting that the natural you is going to have to die in order for you to live. Listen to what it says. The Christian's life is not a modification or an improvement of the old, but a transformation of nature. Last night we found out that we were born through the seed of Adam. We inherited his fallen, human, carnal nature. It means you and I are just like our dad. A chip off the old block, if you please, the old block Adam. And you and I are degenerate. And we're going down, down, down. The change that's spoken of here, the only change that will ever come in our nature is when we are willing to die to self and sin, that a new life altogether might take place. This change can be brought about only by the effectual working of, guess who? The Holy Spirit. That's the one that we've invited into this tent today. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see. Open my ears, Lord, that I might hear. Who does that? It's the working of the Holy Spirit to come into our mind to give us an insight into what our problem is. And our problem is, young people, that we're lost. We are on a downward trek from the moment we're born. If let go and nothing happens, we're lost. There's no hope. Even though Jesus Christ has died for us, He's written us in His baby book, He has done everything He can to save us, but only one person can make the final decision as to whether you're saved or lost. And it's not the head elder in the church. It's not the head deaconess. It's not your mom and dad. It's not your uncle, your aunt, your cousin, your brother, your sister. I don't care how many of them you blame. If you're lost, it's because you made the decision to be lost. Nobody else kept you out of the kingdom. You can't say that, well, as the conference president, if they'd had a decent man come up there to camp meeting that week instead of that Santee character, we might have been saved. No, you can't blame me in that day. You can't blame anyone in that day. You can only blame yourself because you didn't take advantage of the simple thing that God said you must do, and that is be willing to die to that old man, Adam, and all of the inheritance. Say, God, I turn my back on it. I reject it. I don't want anything to do with it. I want to be born again. I want a new nature. I want to become a new creation in Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to be my new parent from now on. That means you turn your back on old Adam and turn your front toward the new Adam, which is Jesus Christ. What is that new nature? Let me read it to you. That new nature is a fantastic thing. And this is what Ellen tells us, 123 in the book Desire of Ages. She says, so long as we are united to Jesus by faith, sin has no more dominion over us. You know what the word dominion means? It means control. You can finally be set free from masturbation. Praise God. You can finally be set free from pornography. Praise God. You can finally be set free from appetite that controls you, that you just have to constantly eat. You can be set free, thank God, from any type of sin, inherited or cultivated, that has controlled you, that has had domination over you. How do you get that? By accepting the new nature. What is this new nature? Listen again to it. So long as we're united to Jesus by faith, sin has no more dominion over us. God reaches for the hand of faith that some of you raised last night. God reaches for that hand of faith in us to direct us to lay hold upon the divinity of Christ, that we may attain to perfection of character. And then Peter, notice what she quotes from him, 2 Peter 1:4. And unto us are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye, you, me, might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what have we said so far? Simply that you are born with a fallen, degenerate nature that ultimately will destroy you. You're just waiting to die. Some of us are even hastening it on a bit by the way we're living. Jesus says, I've come to give you a new nature. And the nature that I want to give you is the nature of divinity. In other words, Jesus' divine nature can be placed to your account. You, by faith, can claim His nature, His life, His spirit, if you please. So that you're no longer living to the flesh of the old man, but rather now in the spirit of the new man, Jesus Christ. Now, folks, if you grasp what I've just said, then you'll understand what Paul was writing about in most every book that he wrote in the New Testament. And what I've just shared with you is the key that will unlock the mystery as to why you're not satisfied with religion. It will let you know that your old carnal heart will never be satisfied with religion. I don't care how many mimes and clowns and big birds and all kinds of entertainment you may have up on the stage. I will guarantee you, according to it is written, you will never be satisfied. You will never be satisfied. You will have to cry out for more and more and more and more. And before long, the church service will soon become nothing but pantomimes and all kinds of entertainment for young people. Why? Because the carnal heart hasn't changed. So we simply feed the carnal heart in order to keep the carnal kids here. Folks, I want you to be here, but I don't want you to remain carnal. I want you to die by God's grace to the old man that's controlled you so that you might be set free to do what God has called you to do. So that you can have the fruit of the Spirit. So that you might walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Then you won't have to go to church and say, man, am I bored. Let me tell you something, folks. Those who are born of the Spirit are never bored, even in jail. Did you know that? Paul said, I've learned to be content no matter where I am. And we look at him and say, man, you're out of it. You were stoned. You were beaten within one lash of your death. Yes, Paul said, and I counted all joy that I could suffer for my Lord. And we say, you're nuts. No, he wasn't nuts. He was born again. His thrills came in saving the lost. Our thrills come in dying. Don't believe me? Folks, why do people drink? Why do people shoot up? Why do people get involved in immorality? Why do people contract all kinds of venereal disease? Because they're in a process of killing themselves. And they don't care. Oh, yes, they do. Inwardly, we're told in the book Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing that many of us care. And some of us are even concerned about it. And those of you that are here are concerned about maybe why do I do these things? I don't want to do this, but I do it anyway. The reason you do it is because your old man is still alive. I'm not speaking about your dad. I'm not speaking about your mom. I'm speaking about the old man in you. You see, what I was talking about the other night and I said I was an old man, got good news for you, every one of you are old men. You have an old man in you that's been around for about, well, nigh unto what? Almost 6,000 years. Since the fall of Adam. You've had that old man coursing in you. That's an old man. You've had the old woman in you women, and she's been coursing around in you for about 6,000 years. But some of us inside say, Lord, I don't want to do these things. I don't really want to be bad, like the little 12-year-old girl we talked about last night that was sold for $500 by her own mother. She didn't want to do that lifestyle, but nevertheless, she had no choice. You have a choice. Listen to what Ellen tells us in the little book, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, concerning this desire that we have when we don't want to do these things. Listen to what she says. We look toward the narrow way, the quartet sang about. We look toward that kingdom where the streets are gold. We want to be there. She says, we look toward the narrow way and the straight gate, but selfish pleasure, love of the world, pride, unsanctified ambition, place a barrier between us and the Savior. To renounce our own will, our chosen objects of affection, or our pursuit, requires a sacrifice at which we hesitate and falter and turn back. Many will seek, she's quoting Luke 13:24, many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. They desire the good. They make some effort to obtain it. They even go to camp meeting. They say, well, Lord, maybe something good will rub off onto me. Maybe you'll even think better of me. Folks, God already loves you. Whether you go to church or not, you will never improve on God's love for you. We tried to tell you that already. God loved you before you were born. God's love is not fickle. It doesn't change like your love and my love. So nail that down. God already loves you. You don't need to impress Him. So if you're here to impress Him, it's not going to work. But some of us have a desire, a natural and a good desire that God, may I suggest, has placed within us, a desire for good. And we even make some effort to obtain it. But they do not choose it, and here is the key that she says. They do not choose it. They have not a settled purpose to secure it at the cost of all things. Somebody says, hey, here's a little crack. Freebie. Nah, I don't do crack. Hey, that's not for me. Ah, go ahead. Nah, I don't do crack. If you have not made a firm conviction, if you have not made a decided decision in your mind that I'm not going to do crack, eventually you'll probably try it. Some of you may already have. What I'm saying is that whatever you choose in life, unless you put your life on the line for it, is just a fleeting good intention. If you still want to have Adam, the first Adam in your life, and at the second Adam at the same time, folks, it will not work. May I suggest that's the biggest dilemma you'll ever face in your life is trying to live in this world, holding on to the old Adam and trying to grasp for the new. You'll be the most miserable kids in the church. You'll be the ones that seek entertainment on one side and can hardly wait till the sun goes down to get another video so you can watch who's blowing up whom and whose house. You can hardly wait to fulfill the desires of the flesh, and yet at the same time you know that if I keep doing that, God's not going to save me, so therefore I must continue to pray. So every time I sin, I'll ask Jesus to forgive me. That way I kind of keep the balance of powers going. Folks, you know what my Bible says? Your Bible says the same thing, that if I cherish iniquity, if I love the old man, my prayers are not heard by God. You want me to illustrate that a little better? Some of you have a sweetheart. Some of you have a companion, a friend. Some of you may even have gone to bed together. Prove how much you love one another. Well, that's loyalty. Now let's take that perversion and try to drive home a point. A young man came to me not long ago and he said, I'm really upset at this girl. And I said, why are you upset at her? He said, she's not your wife. Well, she's been sleeping around. And I looked at him and I said, well, you mean she's been sleeping with somebody besides you? Now, mind you, they're not married, so I could talk with him and get away with it. I said, you're jealous of her because she's been sleeping around with others and not being faithful to you? I said, where's your contract? You never signed one. Well, he said, we had agreement. We loved each other. And yet I said, you didn't love her enough to marry her. Well, we would if we ever got around to it. And I said, and you're concerned about her unfaithfulness to you. Now, let me bring my point home if I can here. God is a jealous God. Just like your old carnal nature can also be jealous. It can be infuriated when your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you find out that, hey, they've been doing this with some other kids too. You're just one of the victims. Suddenly it turns you off. You get kind of angry and you say, man, what a two-timer. And here I was a virgin and here I was the first. And now I find out they've been going with all these other people. Makes you mad inside. Well, listen, young people, if it makes you mad, can you imagine how it makes God mad? That's righteous indignation. He says, you want to come and have a relationship with me in my kingdom, and yet at the same time you want to continue a relationship with the old man. Hey, he said, you can't have it both ways. You're either going to be united with me totally, 100%, living in my spirit, or you're going to be living in the world with the carnality of the flesh. You can't have it both ways. Young people, please try to listen to your own heart. None of you want a partner that's going to be sleeping around. Do you? No. Well, God doesn't want it with you either. He wants you to be faithful to Him. He wants you to be loyal to Him. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to see Him on your wall, if you please. He wants His picture there. He wants to abide with you, live with you, dwell with you, breathe with you. He wants to share with you. And that's the only way He'll do it. Let me share another little statement, if I may. This is from Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, for those of you that brought your Bibles this morning, I want to share with you something, again, Paul writing, that I think now will make some sense. That maybe you've read before, maybe you've had a Bible class before, and you've had to memorize some of these verses, but I think it'll make some sense to you, maybe a little clearer than what it has before. Galatians 5, verse 13 and on. It says, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. You see, kids that do drugs are not free. They're bound. They're held in dominion under the control of the old man. Kids who have to have the latest rock music. Have to have it. The new disc just came out. Got to have it. Why? Because I got to have another fix. Didn't the last one do you? Uh-uh. Oh, no. This is a new one. I got to have it. As soon as you had it, what are you looking for? The next one. Got to have the next one. Hot, right off the press. Top 10. Got to have it. They're only top 10 for a short while. You ever notice that? Last night you guys sang from the 50s. Hey, those things aren't in anymore. They're coming back. Right? Swinging around again. There's nothing really new under heaven. But hey, the top 50, the top 10 of the 50s is no longer the top 10 of today. We might redo them sometime, recirculate them. But we always have to have the top 10, which aren't the top 10 after all. You listening to what I'm saying? Never satisfied, always going for the gold and never attaining. But brethren, he said, I want you to be free unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. Do you know something, folks? The love of the flesh serves itself. The gospel, the good news of salvation is that once you get it, you can't keep it to yourself. You've got to share it with somebody else. And you've got to share it, and in sharing, you see lives changed. You see kids that become faithful to their partners and their buddies and their friends. That's good news. You see a change take place in their life where they're no longer under the old first Adam, but now they're walking under the spirit of the second Adam. They're serving one another. And by the way, let me throw this out. There's a principle here that just kind of knocks my socks off a little bit. Do you know that the whole idea of competition is foreign to the Word of God? But to the carnal nature, we've got to watch another football game. And it's amazing to me, and by the way, I majored in physical education, so don't think I'm just knocking sports, okay? I also played the drums for 6 years. Called it a trap set, now I know why. Sat on a drummer's throne. I know why. Because it's high and lifted up. It gives a man an ego trip. I know why, because it feeds selfishness here, okay? I've learned a few things, young people, over the years. I'm just sharing a little wisdom with you. Take it or throw it away and learn for yourself. But one of the points that he's talking about here, the love of serving one another defies the concept of competition. One football game in the season is not enough. We have to watch every game leading up to the final end. One basketball game isn't enough. We have to see every basketball game. And then we have to watch the final climax. One hockey game isn't enough. We have to watch every piece of blood that ever hits the ice.
before we're satisfied. And even then, we're not satisfied. We have to see more blood and more blood and more blood. Not satisfied. Another deviation for a moment. Do you know what all this blood on the rink does to the blood on the cross? Wipes it out. The blood of Jesus Christ doesn't mean anything. You folks have seen more murders via television and videos than my generation ever dreamed possible of ever seeing in your own lifetime. We're told that young people, by the time they reach 18 to 20 years of age, have seen over 1 million murders. That's a lot of murders. Until you become desensitized and a man dying on a cross, just another guy. Satan's doing a number on us. Now come back to competition. That was just a sidelight. Didn't cost any more than a couple minutes. Competition. Do you know what would happen? I can just see on a basketball court as a case in point. I can see old Larry Bird dribbling down the court, suddenly stops and realizes what Paul wrote. The good news of salvation means that we're supposed to share the gospel. It means we're supposed to serve one another. Larry Bird stops and he turns and he says, "Hey guys, here, you have the basket. See if you can make it." How long would Larry stay on the team? Probably not very long. The coach said, "What in the world are you doing giving the enemy the ball?" "Oh, I learned that the Bible says we're to serve one another." Wait a minute. You're a little messed over, guy. No, we're out here to kill the enemy. We're out here to defeat the enemy. We're out here to prove that we're number one and they are all lower than we are. We believe in the old Greek mythology, Plato's mentality, that we're all higher. Others are lower. We're top. They're down here. Jesus said, "No, you're all equal." See? Football defies that. Not only is it a school of brutality, not only is it an organization that's owned by multimillionaires, little fat men who drink booze and watch their boys play that they own. Not only is it a completely corrupt organization, most of which is owned and backed by the mafia, organized crime. And when you buy a ticket, you're actually supporting the mafia. Well, we wouldn't do that, but I'll prove it to you in a minute. The carnal nature does do that. Because that's fun! We love to see it. But what I'm saying is that if we were true Christians, we would negate every type of competition on every one of our schools throughout America if we were truly Christian. There wouldn't be football, basketball. There wouldn't be the competition in sports. Wouldn't exist. It cannot exist in a born-again Christian. Because I'd always want to be giving the ball to guess who? The other team. And you know what they'd want to do? "Oh no, here, you go ahead. Oh no, you go ahead." And we'd throw the ball back and forth to each other until we both made a goal. Isn't that what we're going to do when Jesus comes? Sure. We come before Jesus and we take a crown off of our head that He puts on our head and He says, "Here's the crown I want you to wear." And we say, "Oh no, Lord, here, you wear it." And He says, "No, this is yours, you wear it." "Oh no, Lord, this is yours, you wear it." See, no competition. We want to give it to each other. Now that's the way I read it. Does that make you mad? If it does, I'll tell you what's making mad. It's making mad the old man in you. And if you're not mad, not getting upset, then obviously you've died to the old man. And you should be leaping for joy and saying, "Thank God, that doesn't even concern me. I agree with the preacher." If you agree with me, it's because chances are you've been born again. If you don't agree and you're sort of mad, it's because the old woman in you is still alive. Saying, "That guy needs to go back home where he came from." Mm-mm. No, your old nature needs to go back where it came from. Let's get it straight. I don't need to go back. Your old nature needs to go back. It needs to go back on Adam. And you need to be born again so that you're not bound by all of this garbage. Now, listen again. Those were sidelights. Let me follow through and so you can see the contrast here as we bring this to a close this morning. He speaks here of a group of people who are living and walking under the law, walking under the flesh. Listen to what he says those people do that are working the works of the flesh. Verse 19, chapter 5 of Galatians. He said, "The works of the flesh are manifest." They're obvious. And these are they: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, sexual immorality, idolatry. That's worshiping big birds and things like that. Witchcraft, hatred, Variants, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and all such like, of which I tell you before, as I have already told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. None of those guys are going to be walking the streets of gold, the quartet sang about. If you're involved in any of those things, and you don't get the victory over them through Jesus Christ, you're not going to be walking the streets of gold, even if you sing about it today. That's how serious it is. We can profess with our mouth. But dear friend, unless we live it through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, it isn't going to mean anything. I have one more text I want to close with today. It's one that you've been very familiar with. And by the way, I can't do this, even though that bell rang and I told Al that I'd watch that. I want to share this with you, and then I want to read my last text. There's another side of the bad. I hit you with the bad. Notice what happens when you turn your back on the old Adam and accept the second Adam, Jesus Christ. The fruits of the Spirit that will now come into you if you're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh are joy. Joy. Now listen, folks, you can sing about joy and never have it. But you can't have it and not sing about it. Did you catch that? Oh, that's a powerful little thought. If you've got it, you can't help but sing about it. But you can sing about it if you don't got it. I'm happy today. Boy, am I bored. I'm happy today. Oh, no, you're not happy. You're just titillating the old nature for a few moments. A person that's really happy has an inner joy. They have, notice what else? Not only do they have joy, they have love. They have peace. They have long-suffering. They have gentleness. They have goodness. They have faith. They have meekness. They have temperance. In other words, they are content. They don't need to see the playmate of next month. In fact, they don't care about the playmate of next month except that her soul be saved in the kingdom of God, and thus they pray that she and her family might be saved. Different, isn't it? She is somebody's daughter. Somebody's little girl that somebody bought and exposes before the world, and we bow down and worship her as an idol. Our last statement in Timothy says, notice this, that in the last days, some bad times are going to come. And men, boys and girls, young people are going to be lovers of their own what? Selves. That's the old Adam. They're going to be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to mommy and daddy. Folks, is this talking about anybody here? Don't raise your hand. But is it talking about anybody here? They're going to be unthankful. They're going to be unholy. They're going to be without natural affection. They're going to be truth breakers, false accusers. They're going to be incontinent. That means without self-control. They're going to be fierce, despisers of those that are good. They're going to be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And verse 5 identifies who they are in the Adventist church. It says they are the ones that have the form of godliness, but deny the power of what? They deny the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life so that they might no longer serve the flesh, but serve the Spirit. You see, folks, being in the Seventh-day Adventist church isn't going to save you. In fact, it'll make you miserable unless you've been born again. And if you've been born again, the Seventh-day Adventist church will never be boring to you. It'll become one of the most exciting churches in the world because God has given to this church a tremendous message of freedom, of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of gentleness, of contentment, so that no matter where I am at peace, I'm at contentment, and no matter what man does to me, says to me, behind my back or to my face, I still have peace with my Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, there is nothing in this world that can give you that except the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never find it anywhere else except in Jesus Christ. Once you have it, church will never become boring to you again. It'll become an opportunity for you to come and witness and share with others, including older people in the church who don't know what I've shared with you today. Father in heaven, as we close our talk today, I just pray that you'll bless each one of the young men and women who stuck it out today. Those that had the courage to listen to the end. And even though some of them are very upset in their own hearts, help them to realize that what they're upset at is not me, but it's the old man in them that's gotten worked up because he's been challenged. It's the old woman that's been challenged today by your word. And Father, it's natural that they would be worked up because they don't want to let go of their victims. Father, I pray for a measure of your power today and the power of your Holy Spirit that will come into the lives of these men and women who are struggling even now as I pray. And that your Holy Spirit might give them a new life, a new heart, make them a new creation, Father, at their request. For it's the only way it can happen. And I pray that they might seriously mean what they say. And that they might truly break away from the old controlling nature. And that they might hold on by faith, keeping their eyes on Jesus and believing in Him, trusting in Him, and making Him not only the Lord of their life from this day on, but also making Him everything, including Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra with outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.